recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Captain, I'm going to do the mandate. Get it on. I'm going to Drew's going to board certified. Thank you to True Car for sponsoring the show, and you can download Pluto TV as well on all your favorite devices. What's going on with you, Drew?
Good times. I see a very interesting call up there with Kevin, but I will wait for that. Did you see the whole controversy about Louis C.K. going back up and appearing at the Comedy Cellar about a week or so ago?
No, I did not.
So he came up and did a 15-minute set, didn't mention why he'd been gone. Apparently he'd been in Europe for 9 months, got a standing ovation, and Me Too was none too happy because he did not – and it's a really interesting –
What did he need to do?
That's exactly the question I asked. I said, you know what? I've been really worried about the excesses of Me Too. You know, people like Chris Hardwick getting caught in and stuff, and just for, you know, for stuff that no, it's not what this movement was about. And I thought, wow, if you had roads to redemption, like here's what we want these guys to do, that could really help minimize some of the excesses of that.
Mm-hmm.
And
give us an example of a road to redemption.
Well, going and having therapy. You know, what happened? What did I do? Building empathy. Going and being of service. You know, doing comedy in the prisons. We're working in domestic violence play.
Uh-huh.
Doing something that shows penance and progress and an understanding, a real understanding of why people were so upset. And I actually interviewed a director of a sex addiction clinic, and she said, you know, men that do this typically have sort of exhibitionism, and there's a deep sexual inadequacy underlying.
What was the rap with him? He said, I would like to masturbate in front of female comedian.
Sit there and let me do this, yeah.
Not sort of with you, on you, or anything, just sort of
In your presence.
In your presence.
You, with you presumably watching.
And if you said no, you could get up and leave?
I believe so.
But could infer that maybe they were intimidated,
yes,
or didn't know what to do.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So then he did this amount of times.
And according to this expert, that's exhibitionism, and it's a sign of inadequacy and some trauma and childhood and stuff, and that you want to really build with this kind of patient an empathy of the people that you thought it was no big deal, but there's really some consequence, and you build that empathy. And it was interesting.
How many folks came forward, pardon the pun, with this Louis C.K. thing?
I think three?
Female up-and-coming comedians who may have been his opening act or something like that. All right, sorry, go ahead.
Five is the headline I'm seeing at first blush.
So I think that's right. And so it was really interesting because when I was saying, well, let's come up with a procedure, all the women I were talking to.
Can I tell you, can I ask this?
Yeah.
When I'm backstage and I'm with a young up-and-coming female comedian and I say, clear out, I got to beat off, does that make me a hero?
Yeah.
Because that's the opposite.
Yeah, it's giving them a chance to move and move out and not be exposed.
I hope I'm recognized.
As that hero for doing so? Hero.
Well, if Louis C.K. is saying, stay here while I beat off, then the opposite of that would be...
Clear out.
Clear out.
Yeah.
I'm the Sir
you
Walter
can go all
Raleigh
the way. You go
of
all
comedians.
The way. And clear out while I don't beat off. Go all the way.
Well, let me just play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Is there a scenario where one of us doesn't beat off backstage?
You or me?
Well, I mean like me or Louie.
Oh. Yeah. Well, it depends if you want to be a hero or not.
I don't see that scenario, right?
Right.
So now we're down to an A or B. Either I have to beat off in front of you or clear out.
Right.
I have to beat off.
Right.
Which makes me a hero.
A hero.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Good deduction.
It's nice to be on the right side of some of these issues for a change.
But what was fascinating about the conversation I had was all the women, when I was saying, let's come up with guidelines, procedures, they were like upset with me. But when I had a therapist go, build empathy and appreciation of the impact of your behavior, they were like, yes, I want to know that he understands my feeling. I'm like, Jesus, okay. It's great. That's easier. We can do that. That's a great thing. So – it's sort of the road back seems to be some therapy, some acknowledgement, some public discourse about what you've done, and some service, which he's done none of, by the way.
Well,
so they're upset with him.
My feeling with people in sort of a weird way, like fighting with the homeless. It's sort of like, do you really need to get back at him? Like, there's something going on in his brain that is broken enough that may have been caused by some trauma that makes him think this is a good idea or I need this in some way.
Yeah.
In a weird way, it's kind of this thing where it's like addiction. Like you go, do we need to punish the person that's addicted? And the answer is, well, if he blows through a red light and he's high or drunk and he hits you and hurts you, right. So in that case, we do. But if not, in a weird way, you feel sorry for them.
Yes, yes.
Like he's punishing himself.
Yes. Don't forget that he attempted sort of an apology and just got smashed for that. So he must be uncomfortable here. He can't figure out what to say.
Well, I don't think in the new world order of movements, we're not really into the correction of the behavior as much as we're into the outrage.
Well, but it's interesting now, though, that we seem to be moving towards sort of what's it called when somebody makes a comeback?
Resurrection.
We're sort of – and Americans love that.
We're fine with
that. I wondered when we were going to get to that, and I feel like he's sort of bringing that into the menu a bit, which is interesting to me. I feel like that's a move in the right direction.
You started by saying people were outraged.
They're not happy with him. No, because he's not done – it made us have a conversation where I'm beginning to realize what the road back is for these guys. There is a road back, and that's good news as far as I'm concerned.
Well, the road back is here's why there's a road back. The reason there's a road back is because people aren't nearly as offended / upset as they said they were in the first place anyway. Not really. So the reason they let them back eventually is because whatever they accused you of, they didn't really care about as much as they say they do anyway.
Well, let's refine that and say I don't think Weinstein gets a road back.
No.
Yeah.
He doesn't get a road back.
Yeah. But so the guys that were not as egregious, you were not as outraged as you said you were because it was not that bad.
Well,
they get a road back.
You right. Very good point, Drew. Mark the Twine, everybody.
Wow, I got one.
You were Harvey
Mark Twain.
You were Harvey Weinstein, upset, offended, put off, angered, whatever, at what was much less than Harvey Weinstein.
Yes.
And if you want to take it down to Al Franken, you can go down below Louis C.K. with Al Franken. So you are just Harvey Weinstein with Al Franken and with Louis C.K. But logically, you can't be as upset with Al Franken as you were with Harvey Weinstein. And that's why when a few months goes by or a few years goes by or a few whatever, you're like, oh, yeah, let him back in because I wasn't actually as upset. Now, I have all the trappings of upset. I'm yelling all the slogans and my hands are flailing, but I'm not really
as
upset.
And I'm asking for something. They want something for the road back. You know, some acknowledgement and some penitance and this
I don't think they want that.
No,
I just think
they
want go sit on the bench for 9 months and don't make any money and then you can come back.
No.
Well, no, I don't know about them, but society and the news and whatever. They just want you, let's take away your livelihood for a little while, and then we'll screw you up your career for a while, and then you can come back.
Yeah.
And you could always have this kind of hanging over your head a little bit. And every time you go onto a talk show and do a pre-interview, your publicist has to go, I can't talk about the whole beating off into the ficus thing. Oh, wait, did he just beat off? He didn't beat off into potted plants.
No, that was Weinstein.
He just beat off.
He just did his thing.
God, those green rooms. So brutal, Drew.
I'm not going into one ever again.
But once again, I'm a hero for decreeing clear out. I got to beat off, right? Do not fold that into your read, Drew.
I'm just thinking about the hero's credo. Clear out, I got to beat off.
So he went up for the first time, got a standing ovation.
And then some backlash.
Well, of course it's going to be backlash. Drew, what is backlash anymore? Is there such a thing as backlash?
It's just lash.
No, but I mean, like, what is the...
It's social media. Michael Ian Black put out a little statement saying, you know, it's good. He essentially said that there should be some retribution or road back, and he got smashed. You know, what about the victims?
He got smashed for saying what? There should be a road back?
Yeah, for sort of saying there should be a road back. I forget exactly what his issue was. He was trying to make a smart analysis of the situation, and he got hit in the crossfire, in the backlash. That was backlash.
Why is any – I don't get why people care about or pretend to care so much about so many different topics. I mean, again, all roads lead to narcissism. But if you can figure that out, I have no idea what's going on. I don't care.
Well, what's weird is how do we get here? These are not topics that don't deserve our attention. They deserve our attention. But you're right. There's so many different things that are just outrage is the currency of the day, right? Just outrage. That is how you get cred, is with outrage. And somehow that's happened, and that's kind of weird.
But I don't get – here's why I don't understand it. You turn on the news and they're pulling babies out of mother's arms and throwing them in cages and something needs to be done. And if you turn on the news 4 months before that, there's a ban against Muslims and they can't come into this country and we're going down to the airport. And if you turn on the news before that, these DACA – babies, they need to stay here with their. Yeah. And if you turn on the news before that, there was something about global warming. Yeah. And if you turn on the news about that, it was Russia.
Yeah.
And then every other news cycle, there's Russia. There's more.
I say people's hair are caught on fire.
But why?
What was your hair caught on fire about last week? You can't even remember.
Well, that's the whole thing. Yeah. It's something. Something needs to be done about these kids at the border thrown in cages, and then the next moment. You're talking about something that's going on with China or something's going on with North Korea or something's going on with the Kremlin. Why are you getting fooled into getting yanked into this world? So or you're upset about Louis C.K. or upset about Chris Hardwick. Why are you so easily manipulated at this age? As an adult. No, I don't mean you. I just mean one. Yeah. Why? What?
I don't know what's going on.
I don't know what's going on because I can't change it. It just is.
I know.
I mean, look, I assume we live in a world where a certain percentage of the population is abused by priests or chieftains or school janitors or comedians, and I'd like to live in a world where there was less of that. But I do not live in a world where I think I can take to the street and do something about it, or much less take to Twitter and stop it.
Well, it's most disturbing of all is that you didn't predict this.
I didn't. I did predict everyone's an asshole, but I mean, it's like, look, they abducted 235 women in Nigeria or something 2 years ago. Yeah. There's a whole hashtag bring our girls back and all that kind of stuff.
Gone.
They're gone.
Yeah.
They've been sold into like sex slavery or something. We're moving on.
Yeah.
Aren't you upset about that? Or we're not done with this, right?
Yeah.
What about the chicks that were abducted?
Is it a collective helplessness? What is it?
Here's my feeling, Drew.
Yeah.
Can I tell you this?
Please.
I'll let you do your spot.
All right. Pluto, leading free streaming television service. Over 100 television channels, thousands of movies on demand, completely free. You download Pluto TV for free on any of your favorite devices. Immediately, it is ridiculously easy. It is completely legal. You can watch your TV show, your favorite TV shows, and hit movies for free. Just go to wherever you download apps. I just got it from my app store on my phone. And boom, while we were reading this commercial, I downloaded the damn thing. And it's a great menu. It looks just like a cable TV or a satellite TV scroll. And you never pay for it. You never pay for TV again. But all you do is download Pluto TV. What are you waiting for? Free for all your favorite devices, including your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, Smart TV, PlayStation, anywhere you stream. And Chassis Channel is now available on Pluto TV. So it's really got some great stuff, and the quality is amazing. Pluto TV, do check it out. So
here's what here's how I work there, Drewski.
Yeah.
Here's how I go through life. It's an easier way to go through life. We're talking about all the women who were 235 girls that were abducted from Nigeria and put into like white slavery or black slavery or whatever, sex slavery or whatever. I think they got back 100 of them, but there's still like another 135. I mean, you can look that up. Michelle Obama had a whole campaign with hashtag and this, that, and the other. Moving on. Moving on to Chris Hardwick.
I know.
We got bigger fish to fry.
Think about that.
I don't. I do, because in my world, Chris Hardwick, whatever he did is less than zero, and these girls being abducted and sold into sex slavery is a little more. I prioritize it.
Yes, you do.
Like I would if I was a police commissioner.
Yeah.
One is jaywalking, the other's mass murder.
Yeah.
So focus on that. And if we have time at the end of the week, we'll get down with the jaywalkers. But I bet we're going to focus our time and resources and attention over here. What I know, Drew, I was explaining to somebody, because at the track the other week, and he shall remain nameless. Mm. Not that you would recognize him, but I don't want to offend anybody.
Okay.
But somebody said, who I was traveling with, you know, there's this guy, and he kind of claims to be a car guy, and he positions himself as kind of a car guy, and a expert, and a driver, and a this, that, and the other. Said he was a driver, and a racer, and a this, that, and the other. But he's never racing in a car at the Monterey Historic Weekend.
Hmm.
He's never in a car.
Hmm.
And I'm in a car every single year. And in order to be in a car, you got to like tow it there and pay some money and wait in line and whatever. But there's this thing where, oh, he's threatening to drive one, but he couldn't do it this year, but he can, but he could if he wanted to. And I said, he doesn't want to drive.
Yeah. If he wanted to, he'd do it.
That's what I said. If you want to do it, you do it. There's 550 guys out here with their cars.
Yeah.
Guess who wants to do it?
Yeah.
They want to do it. If you want people to think you want to do it, but you don't want to do it. I knew a guy who was always claiming, I'm going to go for the UFC. I'm going to try out the UFC, but I, you know, I'm a little too good for the amateur ranks. But never got into the cage.
Yeah.
Well, guess who didn't want to get in the cage?
Right.
Now, I don't blame him.
Right.
I don't want to get in the cage either.
So,
but I don't talk about it.
So what does this have to do with the...
What it has to do with is if you really are on, if you really do care about the girls that were abducted, they're still gone.
Yeah.
You should still be on this.
Right.
If you really did care as much as you cared 19 months ago, you should care even more now, or at least have it on your radar. Don't just move on to Chris Hardwick. You got girls abducted. You know what I mean? Like, I don't believe that you cared that much in the first place is what I'm saying. Because in my world, whether it's I like pizza with anchovy on it, or I like seeing Bruce Springsteen in concert, or I like racing vintage cars. If I told you every year how bad I wanted to be on that track and how concerned I was but how much I care, but I never did it,
at
a certain point, you'd say you're not into it.
I'm still not getting how that is a metaphor for what's going on.
I want you to think I'm into it because there's a certain cachet that comes with
it. Yes, the outrage.
Look, here's the deal. I'm a car guy.
Yeah.
But you go out on the track
and
you could get hurt.
So it's
going to cost you money and time.
I get it. All right, go. Go.
This is what I'm saying. You worry about these women that were abducted in Nigeria. Okay, get on a plane and go to Nigeria and go talk to some warlord. Well, I'm not doing that. Okay, well then start volunteering or giving money to the, or you know, give money on the campaign to whatever. Well, I'm not doing that. Well, maybe you don't care about it as much as you say you do.
Yeah.
Because for the people that do get into the cage or do get into the car or do get, they do care about it.
Yes, I get the metaphor now, but still doesn't help me understand how we got here. Where you're saying, what you're saying is the same thing I'm saying, which is outrage is the currency. Just outrage. Not the caring, but the outrage.
Everybody would love to be at a party and somebody says, oh, what happened? Where would you get that cut on your cheek? And you go, I was in Octagon. I was fighting in the Octagon. They'd love to tell you that story, or most guys do. They'd love to say, oh, I went and did this, or I climbed Mount Everest, or I did whatever I did. But there's a danger that's involved with getting into a car or climbing Mount Everest or an Octagon cage. There's a danger involved. So
cost.
A cost. And it could be your life.
Just like it's a cost of caring about those Nigerian girls, you have to stay committed to that.
It might you might physically have to donate money and time
or
whatever.
Or it might require you an opportunity cost of caring about other things because you're going to care about this. People pay no opportunity cost when it comes to caring. They just show outrage and they go on to the next thing for outrage. They get to have all of it.
But here's the thing. I want you to think I'm very serious, quiet about cars.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you a lot about me getting in this thing, but I won't do it.
But why, though? Why do people feel the need to be there?
Why? I just told you why. I want to go to a party and make you think I'm a cage fighter.
But what is that? But that doesn't even make sense to me. It's like
what do kids do?
Yes. That makes sense to me because they're children and they have no sense of themselves and no identity. And
what's an eight-year-old do? Okay, here's an eight-year-old story.
Are we that bad?
I'm not. I'm driving, bitch. What I'm saying is what's an eight-year-old? What's an eight-year-old do? Eight-year-old do, I was in line at the snack shack at school. Some big bully seventh grader cut me off. I tapped him on the shoulder. I said, buddy, you found trouble. He backed off. Well, how'd that story really go down?
Yeah.
All right, but why does the eight-year-old say it that way?
To build themselves up. Yeah.
Okay.
Because they feel small.
All right. And then what about the girl who says, you know, I was walking through and all the boys were looking at me or whatever it is. They say that. I don't think it went down that way.
But
when you're an adult, you're supposed to drop that shit.
Right. But it's a collective. It's helplessness all under that. It's feeling small and helpless. And that's weird that we all would feel that way. It's weird to me.
The Louis C.K. Entertainment Weekly article was set to be. Huh?
This paragraph I thought you might find. It's a very self-righteous article written by, I can pull up the name of the writer, but I thought this paragraph might.
And was about Louis performing last night?
Right, and I just saw online that the hashtag MeTooSoon is catching a lot of fire when it comes to this.
MeTooSoon.
Yeah, how about me so horny?
How about not me?
Let's get that in there. All right, he's attempting to re-enter the comedy world. Means the same power structure allowed him to abuse
women. Oh, boy.
I want to do a hashtag, we're going to be dead soon.
Hashtag dead soon.
Dead soon.
Yeah.
All right. Someone was 5150.
Let's go to line three.
Okay. Let's talk to Kevin, 55, Chicago.
Hey, guys. Thanks. Honored. Been wanting to make this call for years.
What's going on?
Okay. So to get to sleep at night, I usually fantasize about something sexual. It works like a charm, out like a light. You know, I can practically count to 10. You know, it's something that I can, you know, erotic is different for different people, but something
yes,
that's
indeed.
Really good. Yeah. And, but.
Methinks thou agrees too much.
Yeah. No, yes, indeed, it's different, is what I'm saying.
I'm agreeing with your quick agreement with that, Drew. Yeah, next and time, so, your cards.
Wait a beat,
to speak. No, like, say eroticism or erotic thoughts mean different things for different people. Say it to me, I'll give you the
erotic,
answer.
Erotic thoughts and as fantasies mean different things to different people.
Yeah, there you go. Indeed.
Indeed, sir.
That scares people. All right. Yes, go ahead, Kevin.
So if it's really good, if it's something really good, it'll cause me to sneeze.
Yeah.
Just one single sneeze, and that's it. And I'm a sneezer, too, one of those where I, you know, sneeze like three or four times at a time. But it's just one single sneeze, and it's over.
And you want to know why?
Yeah.
Because when we are aroused, we get vascular dilatation. We vasodilate, and there's a very rich plexus in your nose that dilates up, and will start to – that when you get a runny nose, that's what happens. And so we often sneeze when the Kieselbach plexus starts to drain.
You're a real doctor, just a love doctor. Also, why staring into the sun or light source?
Same thing with dilation.
Same thing?
Yeah. Also, when you eyes tear, it goes right into your nose.
There you go, Kevin.
Hey, that's fascinating.
Now, cool. If you watch Deuce Bigelow 2, European Gigolo, you'll notice that when that gentleman would sneeze, semen would fly from his nose or her nose because she had a penis where her nose was. And this one time, it landed in this guy's soup, and he didn't even notice it.
You got to watch the film to appreciate the full artistic expression of this.
Spoiler alert. High art, baby. All right. Let's see. You got a girlfriend?
Line one.
Let's see. Let's talk to Tanner, 30, Omaha.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's going on?
Appreciate it. First time, long time.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a question for both of you, but Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
How do you... I'm a resident physician here in Omaha, and I just had a question how you kind of keep yourself going, kind of prevent the burnout that kind of comes with practice. What keeps you going every day?
What are you training in?
Internal medicine.
Well, geez, isn't things a lot easier these days? Don't you have specified hours and things where you get to go home and, you know, sleep, and it's more humane? So the key is to have balance and do things in those off hours. Do you do other stuff?
Yeah, you know, I have my hobbies and I have friends around town that I can, you know, see in the non-medical field. But, you know, I'm actually pretty lucky. I'm at a program now where they actually take those duty hours pretty seriously. But I know friends in other programs, the duty hours are kind of really a suggestion more than anything. And there's a lot of times where duty hours will go unreported sometimes, unfortunately.
I did 120 hours a week for years.
Yeah.
I got into it. I got manic and I got sort of high doing it, I think. I got gratified by it. I always tried to find time to work out. I always tried to have some kind of social life. Thankfully, I was doing radio one night a week for many years through all that. And it was sort of, that was kind of my hobby. It sort of was this interesting outlet I had.
First iteration of the Love Line, right?
Yeah. Back in when it was just one night a week. And it was sort of just kind of a fun little social expression. I thought I was doing community service, educating about HIV and AIDS, essentially what I thought I was doing. So that gave me something. But I would say balance is the key. I mean, if you can get some – I keep thinking other people outside of medicine. That is the key. It's being, like you said, peers and friends outside of medicine. Make that a discipline, like all week long if you can, because it gets a little bit intense if you're just in medicine.
Here's a key. True car. See the way I did that, Drew?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You want some tips? Get some the proper amount of inflation pounds in your tire. Please. Let's go. Think about pedaling a bike when the tires are low on air.
Hard.
It's hard. Now think about what your engine is doing when your car is low.
Tires. It's pulling. No gas mileage.
That's right. There's a tip. Also, here's another tip you might not know. True Car also helps people get used cars with a certified dealer network and a nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars. Enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience. Whether you buy new or used, you see what other people paid, you get a great deal, you lock it in, and you pick up your new or used car. Enjoy a faster car buying experience by connecting with True Car certified dealers. So when you're ready to buy new or you're ready to buy used, check out True Car and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. All right. Thursday, September 13th, Seattle Moore Theater with Adam Ray up on stage, live podcast. Then Friday, November 30th, Anaheim, Rob Riggle with The Grove doing a live pod there. Go to AdamCarolla.com. There's live shows everywhere. And go to Chassis. Check out all the offerings there. Drew?
Go to DrDrew.com. Check out our family pods. And we got this week up at Dr. Drew Podcast, a podcast about homelessness. Good one.
And football's back. Up on Podcast One Sportsnet. Great shows like the Dan Patrick Show and RJ Bell's Dream Preview, Tech Each Day. Harbaugh's podcast. I've been on that.
Riggles, oh, really?
Show. Oh, yeah. You love those Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Rich Eisen, all the good names. Anyway, check it out, Podcast One. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This is Carolla Digital.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.